Welcome to On Par with Maury Povich.
You've seen the videos, you've seen the tears, and you've seen the way a stranger with a phone and a question can completely change somebody's day and sometimes their life. But what you might not know is the guy behind the mission. So today I sit down with Zach, who's better known to millions as MD Motivator, to talk about how a dream deferred led to a purpose redefined on his terms. This is On Par with Maury Povich. And now, welcome, Zach, MD Motivator.
Maury, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, I'm just fascinated by your story and what you do and how you really change the lives of so many people. But let's start at the beginning.
Sure.
You're a Canadian.
Yes.
You're from Windsor, Ontario.
Yep.
And so, which is, by the way, if anybody wants to know, it's very close to the United States. It's just across the river, across the lake from Detroit. You want to go to med school. It didn't work out in Canada, did it?
No. My dream my whole life was to be a doctor. And I studied in Windsor to do my university degree. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go to med school in Australia because I've always wanted to live in Australia. That was my dream too. Australia, med school. So I applied to the University of Sydney. I got into the medical school there. And that was January 2020.
Yeah.
Is when I moved over to Australia. And then when you say 2020, you think of the pandemic, you think of COVID, and most importantly, how it made everybody feel. Everyone's got a universal feeling when it comes to that. And so I moved there. I started med school. And when I started there, everything went online. I went through a relationship breakup. I was with my girlfriend at the time of 6 years. A week later, I tore my ACL, so I needed surgery. Medical school was hard. I couldn't make new friends because everything was online. But most importantly, I was too afraid to tell everybody back home what I was feeling and what I was going through.
So you were really struggling mentally.
It was just too much all at once, and I felt alone.
So there's this one moment where you walk outside.
Yeah.
And start crying.
Yep. It was the middle of the night on a random weekday night, and I was living with one of my medical school roommates at the time. And I remember I'm like, I can't let him know how I feel or like what's going on. So I'm like, I need to get out of the house. So I went for a walk down by the Sydney Opera House. It's a beautiful spot. Have you been to Sydney?
No, I haven't, but I've seen pictures of the Opera House.
It's gorgeous.
Yes.
But it was the middle of the night. It was raining one night. I just sat down and just released and let myself feel. And these two women walked by and they saw me sitting there in the wet cement crying. And they came up to me and they just said, hey, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. Obviously, that's like the automatic response that we as humans have. And they said, what's going on? And I said, nothing, I'm good. And then what they did in that moment changed my life forever.
They gave you a big hug.
They gave me a big hug, and they sat on the wet cement and listened to a stranger for 30 minutes. And I never forgot how good it felt to feel seen and to feel heard.
And that changed your life.
I went home that night, and it was with the time difference. I talked to my parents about what I was going through, and I was like, wow, like those two women made me feel enough to like share how I was feeling with my family. I'm like, I wish I could be like that for somebody else. So that's how I started this whole social media thing. I would blindfold myself and hug strangers.
Yeah, I mean, you would, and this is everywhere. So here you are, Zach, MD Motivator. You cover your eyes.
Yeah.
You're standing on a street corner. You have a sign.
Yes, sir.
Saying, if you suffer from mental health,
yep,
give me a hug.
If you suffer from mental health, if you feel alone, if you're missing someone, if you're feeling anything, just hug. And you'd be so surprised at the amount of people that just come up and give hugs or share. And that was when I learned that people are listening, are like, they share for two reasons. One time they want to be heard, and then sometimes they want answers. But people that came up to me, they just wanted to feel heard like I did. And what's really crazy about that, Maury, I've been doing this now for 4 or 5 years, and I've never reconnected with those two women. That night, they had no idea what they were doing.
You don't know their names?
Never got their names. If I saw them, I'd recognize them. But they probably live in Sydney, Australia, I imagine. And hopefully I go back at the end of this year and I can like reconnect with
them. Try to find them.
That's my goal when I go to Australia, is to find these women. Yeah. So
maybe they're watching you know, on social media. Who knows?
I hope so. I hope they see this story, because I would love to connect because of them. That's why I do what I do.
Okay. But it's gone way beyond standing on street corners with a sign, you know, asking people with problems to give you a hug.
Yeah.
What came next?
So I felt for the first time, Maury, I was 27 at the time. I felt the first time in my entire life that I was me, that I was doing something that felt purposeful, that was naturally me. So I told my parents back home, I'm like, I want to quit med school to move back home into their basement to make TikToks. And that was the scariest conversation, was to like tell them I wanted to transition to something.
Wait a second. Okay, Mom, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to be an influencer on TikTok.
And they had no idea what social media was. And they knew I would give them all my 20s to this. And so like that was the scariest thing. But if you have good parents or support, what do they want for you more than anything?
They want you to be happy.
They want you to be happy and they want you to be healthy. And they saw I wasn't happy and they saw I wasn't healthy mentally. So they trusted in me and they let me move back home to their house at 27.
And were you still walking out on street corners?
At first, when I moved back home, the first like couple months, that's how it started, is I would stand outside. And this is my hometown, Maury. So everyone that I knew was like, thought you're in med school. Why are you back at our local mall giving blindfolded hugs to people? Like, this is so weird. And like everyone was so confused, but I didn't care. And that was like the most liberating thing, was when you don't care what people think, the world's your oyster.
But it's become so much bigger than that. You know, when you put out your first video on TikTok, did you realize that you were doing something bigger than you thought?
It made me feel not alone and just like I was helping people for once. That was the, and it had 20 million views the first video overnight, but it wasn't about the views. It was just like, this is resonating with people on a real level. And I felt like I was doing something good in the world. And that was what made me feel like alive.
Yeah, but what you do now takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're giving out thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You're giving away cars.
Yep.
You're changing people's lives in terms of getting them a job.
Yep.
Where did all this come from?
So it snowballed, Maury. So it went from giving away hugs to giving away flowers, to giving away small coffee gift cards, to people starting to donate a couple bucks, to me live streaming and raising 500 bucks and then going out and giving it away that same day, to raising thousands of dollars to
on
brands.
GoFundMe and
GoFundMe through the community, whatever it was.
Then, I mean, you now have a big nonprofit.
Yes. Yeah. Kindness is cool. So we've been able to give away nearly
$10 million.
Kindness
is cool.
Yes, sir.
And you've given away how much?
We've given away nearly $10 million in the last 2 years. And it's been the most incredible journey, whether it's giving away thousands of dollars. We've given away probably $250,000 in the last 2 weeks.
Where do you find these recipients?
Down the street, everywhere. Everyone's got a story, Maury.
I mean, because of you being so famous now,
yeah,
they get in touch with you now?
So the hard thing is that people recognize me, but I can tell usually when someone recognizes me. So it's more so just connecting with like strangers that don't know who I am, hearing their story, seeing them be kind in a small act. Like a perfect example is last week, this lady in my hometown gave me a strawberry. That's all she had to give me. And from that one strawberry, we were able to raise her. We got her 3 full-time jobs. She's a single mom. We got her a brand new car and we raised her nearly $50,000. And she kept saying to me, because of a strawberry. I'm like, it's not the strawberry. It's the act. You gave what you had. And people always say, I wish I could do what you can do. You can. You just got it. The small acts matter. So whether it's giving away a hug or giving away $100,000.
So you gave $100,000 to somebody?
Multiple people. We've given away $250,000. We've given away to us. Yeah, we've done a lot of incredible things.
What did you give? Why did you give somebody $250,000?
So this would have been in Los Angeles about 2 years ago. It was a dad and son. And all I knew is that I was working with the Lakers. And they said, we can bring somebody to a Laker game. So I was in Compton. I was on an alleyway. And I saw this dad and son sitting outside a barbershop. And I was confused at why they were like, seemed like they were comfortable. I thought maybe they were waiting to get a haircut. I go in and said, you want to buy this mystery king hat? And the kid kept saying yes. And I said, do you like basketball? He's like, yes. Do you like the Lakers? Yeah. But he only said yeah. Long story short, he was autistic, and it was a single dad, and he opened his trunk, and we saw that they were living in their car, and I had no idea who they were, didn't know their story. Brought them to the Laker game. They got to meet all the Lakers. Crazy story. Go back, like, 5 days later, we were able to surprise them with $250,000. The dad had 9 different job offers. We could took care of the son's medical needs for the next 3 years and just completely changed the trajectory of their situation. But it's not me, Maury. It's the community that we've built. It's like 41 or 42 million people that we've grown on like the following, but they're the ones that create this change. I share stories and then it gets to catalyze the good.
Do you tear up at all?
All the time. Yeah, man. It's, and you never know that these people are, some people are going through some of these things.
Do you remember every single time you've done something?
Not every, but I'd say of the 500 people that I've probably like connected with, I still talk to probably like 75 to this day.
Oh, you still communicate with them?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to, there's one that I started here. I did in Harlem 2 or 3 years ago, and we're going to go see him tomorrow morning before I head out. His name is Michael.
And you haven't seen him since?
I haven't seen him in like a year. I'm really excited to
see
him.
Tell me about his story.
127th Street, Harlem, New York. He was a 65-year-old man in a wheelchair, and he was just saying, help me, help me, help me. And people were walking by him like he was invisible. So I just went up to him with a GoPro. I say, hey, what's going on? He says, I'm $195 short for my rent. It's due tomorrow. Otherwise, it's going to be on the street. And he ended up giving me, a long story short, I said, I don't have any money, but if you give me a quarter for the bus, I'll come back and maybe I can do something. He gave me a quarter for the bus. He said, you don't need a quarter, but take it if you need it. So I took it, came back, and we surprised him with $500 overnight. We raised, at that point, that was the first time I crowdfunded. We raised like $9,000 in 40 minutes, and I was overwhelmed. So I posted on my Instagram. I said, anybody from 127th Street that's free tomorrow at 9 a.m., meet me outside the U.S. Postal Office in Harlem, New York. So 7 different people from different walks of life, somebody that owned a grocery store, somebody that was in charge of one of those like Times Square billboards, somebody that was a bank teller, just all different people, they're different facets, but from the same block. They met me that day. We surprised them. We ended up raising $100,000 for him at the time. But the coolest thing of the story wasn't in the video. The coolest part was the end of the thing. I felt like I did such a great thing. Video turns off. He tapped my elbow and he said, Zach, I just want to say thank you like for all the money you've raised and all the good you've done. But I haven't had a friend in 7 years, and now I have 9 people I can call a friend. Thank you.
Wow.
And that was when I realized it wasn't about the money as much as it was about the connection. Because of that quarter he gave me that day, he now lives with his son in New Jersey that he hadn't seen in 3 years, and his grandkids that he never met before. And he had no idea. So I'm very excited to see him tomorrow. And that one really sticks with me.
Do you do that with many of the people you help?
Crowdfund?
No. Go back later on and see.
The ones that I really connect with, yeah, for sure, of course, whenever I can, because I'm always on to the next thing or the next thing, but whenever I'm in the same city.
I mean, I saw a video of you in Italy.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just not here.
Yeah, around the world we've been doing this. I think like 8 or 9 different countries, and that's the plan the rest of this year and next year is to be able to make this much more global and international.
In Italy, you went back to the beginning with the blindfold.
Yep. Yeah, I did. And that was scary, too, because I was curious how mental health would be perceived in a European culture. And within an hour, we filmed everything and more, and it was all positively received. It was really cool to see that. Yeah.
I'm just blown away by this. I'm not only blown away by what you do, but I'm blown away by the response. Because people, I mean, you know, the climate.
I believe that humans are humans. It doesn't really matter. Love supersedes all. And there's so much hate right now. And that I think that's more reason for this content to be on your scroll, on your feed, is everything's to divide. And it's more important that we all connect and that we're all the same. We really are.
So you
and those that like hate usually need more love, right? Those are the ones that
you
we need.
You can turn them.
I don't even care if I turn them, but I just got to admit that onto them because that's what they need.
But what you're finding out is that whatever people need here in terms of a hug or whatever, it's universal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's universal.
What haven't you done that you want to do?
Ooh, what haven't I done that I want to do?
Yeah. Is there an idea you have that might even make it grander?
There's one video that I want to do. I want to give away $1,000 to 1,000 single moms with Drake in Toronto at a gas station for Mother's Day next year. That's like the dream collab that I want to do.
With Drake?
With Drake. So Drake, if you're listening, that's what I want to do. I think that'd be really amazing.
$1,000 to 1,000 people.
1,000 single moms for Mother's Day at a gas station.
Why are you so partial to them?
I've just heard so many stories of whether it's single moms or single dads.
Because I've been through that with the Maury Show for 30 years about dealing with single moms who have to play both sides in terms of parenting.
I think it goes back to just how privileged I was when I quit med school and to have that opportunity. I've met so many people in the last 4 years that have gone through shit or gone through hard times. And if they don't have that support that I was grateful and thankful to have, that it's very easy to fall further down that hole.
Right. Have you ever had a time when it was really tough to make a video?
To make a video?
I've With had any people, circumstance?
I've had people meet me. Like I have hundreds do of people, hours of people, rejections.
Do people heckle you?
People say no, swear at me, all the things that you could see in human, but you can't. I don't share that because I've learned even when I make a 3 minute video, 2.5 minutes is focused on that kind person, but the first 20 or 30 seconds shows someone being mean to me. No one remembers the last 2.5 minutes. They're only hyper focused on that one rude person, because I think that's like human nature, is to focus on that.
But because you have that conflict,
yes,
and then the goodness.
It supersedes if you can push through.
I would say that people watching the video would react to that even more so.
Yeah.
When they see the way that you've been heckled.
100%. And that's what we're working more on, like the content. We're doing more long form YouTube stuff and wanting to create a show, but to show, I guess, both sides instead of just the one side, because it's the realness of it, right?
I want to be in on something with you.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
We're going to do something together.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it is, but it's going to be like part two of your show, part two of your act. When I watched you, when what you were doing, you know, kind of now that we're here face to face, I think we're going to be able together to change some life.
I would absolutely someone. Love that.
Okay?
Okay, deal. Next time we're in New York.
Yeah. I mean, part two of this. Is going to be you and I.
Deal.
Outside.
Okay.
I just hope I'm not heckled. Okay? All right. So we've got a 19th hole.
Okay.
We have this thing called the 19th hole where you have a chance maybe to ask me anything you want to. So, I mean, you know anything about golf?
A little bit.
Okay, that's good.
Yes.
I mean, Canadians love golf.
We do love golf.
They have the Canadian Open every year.
Yep.
And it's part of the PGA Tour. So apparently, you got a chance to ask me anything you want.
I know you were very close with your father. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I was. But he was, you know, he was a tough act. Good putt. Whoa, surprise.
I surprised yourself.
Are you kidding? Very good.
Thank you,
Mark. All right. Let me see what I can do. Jesus, I don't know. Oh, wow.
There we go.
Good to see you.
Great to see you.
I'm so happy you came.
Can I ask you one last question,
Mark? Sure.
It was about your dad. If you could say one thing to him, what would be the one thing you would tell him?
I would tell him the same thing that he always worried about me, that money always burned a hole in my pocket, and he was scared to death that I would never have any money. And I finally showed him that I had enough money because I sent a plane to him to Coda, Maine, his boyhood home. And he says, I'm not going to worry about you. And I would say this, you still don't have to worry about me, Dad.
He'd be very proud of you.
Yeah, well, I think so.
I know so. Thank you, Maury.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
If you've had as much fun as I did, make sure you subscribe to On Par with Maury Povich on YouTube and tap that little bell so you don't miss a thing. And if you like to listen on the go, we're on Apple, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcast. Hit that follow button. I'll be back with more before you know it. On Par with Me, Maury Povich, is brought to you by Mopo Productions, A Better Life Media, and Radley Studios, with executive producers, me, Maury Povich, Holly J. Mirabella, and Christian Thompson, supervising producer Mike Bournazian, and directed by Mark Leibowitz.